您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。 Roundtable is launching this mini-series about China and the US, and today we're talking about people in the two countries, how they get to know the other country and how they think of the other country. There are already wide contacts between the two countries. In 2014, China-US passenger trips reached more than 6 million. An annual increase of 15% is expected in the years ahead. However, do people in China and the US really know each other?中美之间已经建立了广泛的联系。2014年呢，两国间的旅客人数达到600万人次，预计今后将每年保持 15% 的增长速度。但是中美两国人民之间是否真正了解对方呢？ So CRI recently did this online survey, especially targeting university students of the two countries. And there's some pretty interesting results. Let's get to some of them.
Oh yes, and this survey has been targeting university students from the...two countries, and in total there are like 500 questionnaires being collected, and 104 of these surveys are done by these American students. And I think the really interesting thing I get out of this is that China's image to U.S. students isthat it is the most populous country. I think that is something that seems to be registered in people's minds, that when you talk about China, it just sounds like a vast country with multiple heads in it, and then it's like a just...
Well, and the rest of the body.
There would be floating heads. Not floating heads. And then, well, that's the...
People is the word you're looking for, I think.
No, because just now I was just thinking about, you know, like on a map, and then, like, there are these, like, really interesting things online that try to, I know, stereotype, like, what a place is represented. And in China, it's often that it's a lot of people, and also it's a rising power, and the Communist Party of China, and hardworking people. These are things that, in the eyes of U.S. students, seem to represent what China stands for.
Well, they do, but the percentages aren't that high, we must say. For example, the idea of the number of people in China, for example, the most populous country, 35.58% said that's the thing that they most associated with China. That's not very high a percentage. I mean, if you think about it, 65% said the opposite, or something different, rather. A rising power, that was 28%. Associations of the Communist Party of China, 15%. That means 85% didn't list that as being the most important thing that comes into their mind. Hardworking people, 11.54%. So yes, I think probably the most populous country, maybe that was the biggest percentage in the survey. Mm. And it is the thing that, I mean, I know as someone that grew up in Britain and Europe generally, this is always mentioned in relation to China, the population. It's a very well-known fact that China's the most populous country. You always hear that figure of 1.3 billion, which is projected to reach 1.4 billion, I think, by the end of this year, actually. Mm. So it's rapidly... and then India, which has been 1.1 billion, is going to move up to 1.2 or 1.3 billion as well.
Right. And also, I think it's interesting that, Mark, you bring up the percentage layout here, because maybe it also shows that American students, when they look at China, their opinions are a lot more fragmented in comparison to what Chinese students see the U.S. image as. 42% of Chinese students think that the image of the U.S. is freedom and democracy. Well, that's always the thing I get out of Hollywood movies, and personal view. And then 30.5% think that the U.S. is a superpower, and then followed by other things like the world police and being self-righteous. But those are all less than 10%. So when you do the comparison, I think for the Chinese students, with you know, so many people thinking that it's the freedom, democracy, superpower, those things, it's, you know, very, in comparison, concentrated views.
Yeah, and actually, it's very generalized information, isn't it, really? Extremely generalized. You mentioned Hollywood movies. I have a feeling that this is the best way to put forward a view of a nation's culture. although it's a distorted view. Let me give you an example. In every Hollywood movie that shows Los Angeles, for example, they always, without fail, show the five or six tall, silvery buildings of the financial district as a representation of Los Angeles. It's that is there, but I mean, it's extremely misrepresenting that city. It's not like that at all. Most of it's low rise because it's in an earthquake zone. So it's not like that at all. So you do, but at least Chinese people know something about American culture, a lot, but it's distorted. Like, America is nowhere near as violent as Hollywood movies would give us the impression. In just about every Hollywood movie, maybe that's an exaggeration too, there's some sort of gun violence, but you know, if you talk to Americans, they say it's not like that at all. It's a misrepresentation. So this is how I think China should promote itself in the future. Maybe if the film industry could, or the dramas would be good. You know, a Chinese soap opera set in a modern city showing the extremely advanced subway system, the high-speed trains. Well, how young you laugh. But, you know, British people do not know that Beijing even has any subway system at all, let alone the most advanced one in the world, because it's brand new, you know, a lot of it. They simply don't know anything about these things.
But I think that's already taken place in many of Chinese dramas and movies and whatever art form we're talking about, but it's just not being consumed by people outside of the country as
exactly.
much.
Exactly.
Also, it is interesting to look at what students from one country think of another country's problems, or just so-called challenges, most serious challenge that Chinese people think that U.S. has is gun violence. But the U.S. students think of their own biggest challenge is political dysfunction. And so your view of the other country's biggest challenge and their own view of their biggest challenge is quite different. And then coming to China's biggest challenge, American students think that the most serious challenge faced by China is environmental pollution. But Chinese people think that the most serious challenge faced by China is income gap. So again, we're seeing very different results, and I wonder, but you know, I think it's needless to say both these four issues, so political dysfunction and gun violence in the U.S., environmental challenges and income gap in China, all of these are big challenges that the two countries face, but people of different countries rate it on a different level, I think.
Yeah, different level, certainly. But when you look at what Chinese students think is, you know, serious challenge faced in our own country, of course number one is the income gap, like Xiaohua said, but it's followed by environmental pollution, excuse me. So, and that's the number one challenge that U.S. students see for China. So, in a way, I think because we're in this brilliant age where, you know, the digital world just makes all that information available for people, that we're not that far from truth. It's somewhere, like, not that away from us.
I think there's the potential for what you call truth, yes. And what I mean by that is, for example, one truth would be to, for example, look at some webcams in the streets of Beijing, because if there are any, I'm sure there are, so that people around the world, because you know there are these webcams all over America and the rest of the world, you can look on the internet and see what a place is like. And of course, visiting a place is the way to find out what something is like and speaking to the people there. However, most people do not do that, any of it. Most people, it seems to me, waste the potential of the internet on more trivial things. So most people seem to get their information about China, American students get it mainly from the American media. And therefore, they're looking at China through the eyes of someone who's interpreted and filtered it for them in one way or another. So people, while they do have the potential for a direct experience of China online by looking at, for example, Chinese blogs written by ordinary Chinese citizens about their daily lives, for example. You know, they don't even have to look at the official news outlets. But instead of that, they're looking at the American filtered content.
You talk about, you know, how students get to know about the other country. I think this is very interesting if we put the two countries together, parallel, and compare them. So, Mark, you said that, you know, most of the U.S., well, 30%, the largest percentage of U.S. students came to know about China about via American media, so their domestic media. But what about the Chinese students? Most of the Chinese students know the U.S. via social media, and that's also taking part about 34-35% of the whole population. And following that is Chinese media. 31% get the most info from Chinese media, and then from foreign media, and then from U.S. media, you know, on level of decreasing importance.
Right, but I don't, sorry to cut you, Xiaohua, but just one point that comes to my mind immediately is, I think comparing Chinese students' preference to social media versus American students getting information from about China from the American media, their traditional media, it's not really a great comparison. Because what does social media in China mean? We don't get Twitter. We don't get Facebook.
Well, there are equivalents of it, though, aren't
so there? So we get it from Weibo, and we get it from other places.
That's
but
an
that's,
interesting thing to say. Yeah, keep going, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that has been translated into Chinese. That has been filtered into Chinese.
Yes, it's sort of filtered information.
So we're all getting information that is filtered either through one layer or multiple layers.
True. I think also, even when people visit a country, the things they put on social media are edited through their own perception and through their own cultural background. Let me give you two examples. First, my own. When I first came to China in 2006, because I was way out of date, I thought China still had lots of bicycles and so forth, more than cars. So when I was taking photos of people on all those three-wheeled tricycles, for example, I made sure there were no cars in the photographs because I wanted it to look how I thought it should look.
I see.
And this is the same with Chinese people. One of our colleagues, who I won't mention the name, but I mean, went to America, and the pictures that were posted on WeChat showed things like the financial district of Los Angeles. It showed what they expected to find there, not what they actually did find there around them. And it was the same for me. So even us as citizen reporters, in other words, ordinary human beings with a phone with a camera on it and an account with a social network, that's what we are, because we do filter the content. We do, whether we think we do or not. And so this is also a distortion of reality through our own cultural backgrounds on both sides.
Yeah, I think this is very true, Mark. And I think the most efficient way of communication would be to have a face-to-face talk like we are doing every day and also in our office. In this way, you know that there's no concept of fortune cookie in any Chinese restaurant and things like that.